week on Tuesday night, during the night, I was woke up by the Spirit of the Lord, and he spoke one word to me. And I like that because that's a starting point for something. But one word is pretty limited. But he spoke the word resilience to me. Resilience. So, obviously, when God speaks something to me, I'm like, okay, what's up with this? Am I supposed to draw up a message or what? Well, through prayer, God led me to put together a message entitled Biblical Resilience. And as I was building this message, I got level with you. It became more and more clear as I was building this message as to why God spoke that to me. Because I'm seeing way too many professing Christians that are throwing in the towel. And we should not be throwing in the towel.
Amen.
It's a time we stand up, throw our head back, stick our chest out, and say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So, would you turn with me to Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15. We'll be looking at several other scriptures. But this is the one the Lord led me to start with as a foundation for this message. Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Begin to read in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this word. Lord, we glorify you. You are such a mighty and awesome God. Thank you that you are proactive in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up and giving me that one word, resilience. And then from there, helping me to discern what you were speaking. Now, Lord, help me. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I do the best I can to bring forth the message that you put inside of me. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for me to speak this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory and yours alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, resilience is the quality of being able to adapt to stressful life changes and bouncing back from hardship. This is something I'm seeing with a lot of people. I have seen especially, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, but especially in the last 2-3 years, I have seen way too many professing Christians that have gone through hard things and they have not bounced back. What they bounced off of was they bounced off the rails. Way too many. And it grieves my heart as a pastor. Because God called me to be a pastor, and when he did that, he put in my heart a caring for people, a genuine caring for people. If I didn't care about people and only cared about the seats that were full, then I guess it wouldn't bother me. But that's not the way I'm made. So I grieve when people bounce off of the rails instead of bouncing back. We all go through hard things. My wife and I have had our share as well. But thank God, by His grace, we didn't ever bounce off the rails. We bounced back. And that only by His grace. I take no credit for that. because it's by him and him alone. Resilience is a response to tragedy or crisis or other life-altering changes that allows us to move on despite the loss. People give up on God and leave the church for all kinds of reasons. Broken relationships, the death of a family member, and boy, it must be God's fault. Especially if it's a tragic or sudden death. Oh, it must be God's fault. Well, a person that assumes that really has never learned the Word of God, have they? Because John 10:10 clears it up for us. Jesus said, and I quote, "Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy." That's something you can count on Satan to always do. And I thank God that Jesus didn't quit there. He said, but I have come to give life, life to the full, or if you're reading a different translation, life abundantly. Thank God for Jesus Christ. You can count on it that Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you can also count on it that Jesus came to give life to the full. Last week we talked about why bad things happen to God's people. We talked about several different scenarios from Scripture. Bottom line is, we live in a fallen world. This world is fallen. And as believers, we are like salmon swimming upstream because we are going against the flow of everything else in the world. So we might as well just buck up and say, this life is going to be hard. Jesus never said it would be easy. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, the yoke that he puts on us is easy, he said. And he said, my burden is light. He did say that. But that doesn't really, if you study that out, doesn't really mean that we're never going to have any trouble or sorrows in our lives. Because he went on to say, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. That's what the Word of God has to say about it. So we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts, and we need to learn to hang on to the Word of God when we go through hard things. Also, learn to not go through things alone. You need people. Too many people withdraw and hide from the people that love them the most because they feel like they want to grieve alone. They don't want anybody touching them. They don't want anybody telling them anything. And that's the wrong response. We need each other. Obviously, first and foremost, we need God. There's no doubt about that. But I tell you what, we also need God's people. There have been many times in my life since I gave my life to Christ that I have needed God's people to come around me and support me and lay their hands on me and pray for me. I've got many pastor friends that they love me, but they're not impressed with me. They'll tell me what I need to hear if I need to hear something. That's something we all need. We need somebody that loves us enough to tell us the truth. You know, we all need somebody. If we're getting a little askew, we all need somebody to say, you might want to rethink that, kind of turn back in here a little bit. We all need that. Showing resilience does not mean the person is unaffected or uncaring about life change. Resilience doesn't mean that we haven't taken a shot. There hasn't been a shot that came over the bow and hit its mark. But resilience means we get our legs under us again and we get up and we keep going. We don't quit. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't quit. When he fell down many times carrying the cross that he was about to be hung on, I'm glad he didn't say, oh, this is too tough. I didn't sign up for this. I'm done. Because you understand every one of us would be lost if that would happen. But he finished his course. He finished what he came to do. He was resilient. Resilience is also the human heart's ability to suffer greatly and grow from it. Those grow times, those times of growth in our lives, those happen in the valleys. They don't happen on the mountaintops. We all love the mountaintops. I love them too. The mountaintops are awesome. But that's not where all, if you've been out to the Rockies, that's not where all of the lush green is. You got to go back down in the valleys to see where stuff's growing. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So we need those valleys, and God knows how many we need and how deep the valley needs to be for Him to keep us growing and bring us forth bearing fruit unto all maturity. That's God's goal. He wants to grow us up. Too many people give up and stop in the teenage stage. I love my grandkids with all my heart, but I'm glad they're not going to stay in the teenage stage. And they're good kids. I'm not putting them down. Don't get me wrong. But teenagers are teenagers. Come on, parents. They're trying to figure out who they are. And I mean, you know, they're just teenagers. I'm thankful my kids are through the teenage years. Thank God. And they all love Jesus. Praise God. And now it's their responsibility to raise the next generation, not mine. However, when we're needed, we help. As grandparents, right?
Right.
We have seen examples of national resilience over the years, such as the U.S. showed in World War I, World War II. I want to tell you something, guys. Those people that fought in World War I and World War II, those were tough people. We are all wimps compared to that generation. And I don't say that lightly. That was a different breed of people. They were tough. And I tell you that to tell you this. It's time we get tougher and thicker skin. We saw a little bit of it in 2001 when 9/11 took place. You realize in about a month, it'll be 20 years. In about a month, it will mark 20 years. On September 11th, it will mark 20 years. And I remember vividly exactly where I was at when the word came out that we were under attack and a plane had just hit one of the Twin Towers. And then the word came out that another plane had hit one of the other Twin Towers. And then we got the word that there were two more planes hijacked. One was headed to the Pentagon and ended up hitting the Pentagon. And then we found out that there was another one that people that have resilience took over that plane and dove it to the ground so that it didn't make its mission. Resilience. We can see personal resilience every day in people who suffer handicaps, death of loved ones, and other losses. When people refuse to give up on themselves, their nation, and the world, even after much misfortune, they are truly being resilient. I'm doing the best I can to be resilient. God has spoken to me, and I'm standing on it. Are you standing? God has only begun to fight the evil that is working in our world. You know, when we talk about people with handicaps, I think of the resilience, the fortitude of Helen Keller. One more recent. She has passed away now, but I think of people like Johnny Erickson Tower. And there are many others, but those two immediately came to mind when I was working. They were people that had resilience, and they did as much as they possibly could in spite of the handicaps that they had. They fulfilled God's will in their lives. It's time we as believers stop making excuses for why we can't do this and why we can't do that. And when God speaks to us and tells us to do something, pitter patter, by God, let's get at her. I needed to hear that. I've been. See, something I am learning, even though I'm not old, I am 64 now, and I'm recognizing that my body doesn't tolerate some of the things it used to tolerate. Can I get a couple of witnesses? So, yeah, I've had to make some adjustments. And sometimes when I'm feeling led to do something, and it's something that maybe it's going to take a toll on my body, it makes me go, Because things are changing, because we are in the aging process. But I don't want that for an excuse either. Because if God calls me to do it, then He will equip me to do it. Because when He appoints, He anoints. Well, that was the introduction. Now I'm going to get started preaching. First major point. Praise God. Resilience is the biblical norm for true Christians. Resilience is the biblical norm for true Christians. We read it and probably didn't realize it in our text, our foundational text in Philippians. Let me pull out three phrases. The first one is from verse 12. Paul says, because that's the author to the Philippians, he authored the letter. He says, under the instruction of the Holy Spirit, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. There's two took holds there. Paul says, I take hold. Can we liken that to maybe taking hold of the hem of the garment of Jesus? Can we liken it to that? Like a woman with the issue of blood crawling through the crowd, risking everything because she could have been stoned to death because she was out in public when she was unclean. She risked everything because she got a revelation that the Messiah was coming. And she was willing to risk everything to get healed because she had spent everything that she had on doctors and there was no cure. But she heard Jesus was coming. She risked everything. Crawled through the crowd and got a hold of the hem of his garment. Because she told herself, if I could just get a hold of the hem of his garment. You know what's ironic about that? when they would pour the huge flasks of anointing oil on a person when they were commissioned into ministry, that oil would run down their heads and down their back, and it would actually catch in the hem of the garment. A lot of people never thought about that. But it runs, because it was like a pitcher, man. I'm telling you, when you got anointed back then, you got anointed. You got bathed in oil. And that stuff would run down and catch in that hem. In that hem. And I think there's a significance to that when she said, if I could just get a hold of the hem of his garment. And she did. And she was healed. There's part two to that phrase. He says, when I took hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Glory, hallelujah, I'm so glad that Christ Jesus takes hold of us when we reach out to him. And because of that, as believers, we possess resilience because we are overcomers in Christ. In verse 13, we see the second phrase I want to draw. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. There are way too many people that have gone off of the rails because they're always looking in the rearview mirror and are never able to move forward in what Christ has for them. So I bring this to you. Get your eyes out of the rearview mirror. Quit looking back at the past. When the enemy reminds you of your past, which we've all got a past, I think. Amen? I know I do. I've never hid that. Satan's always wanting us to focus on the past. Well, when he's always reminding you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Because it's not a good future for him, nor any of his followers. It's a funny thing how the enemy will leave you alone when you remind him of his future. He just don't even want to go there. Just don't want nothing to do with that. Stop looking backwards. Paul says, I strain toward what is ahead. You know, it says in the Word of God also that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. If we're looking backwards and standing still all the time, how can God order our steps? God has to have a vessel that's willing to move forward to be able to order their steps. Somebody's got to be getting an awakening right now. So you're going to take something home from this today. I'm telling you, God poured this word out on me. Third phrase, verse 15 of our text. Says, all of us who are mature, should take such a view of things. So, what he is saying is that a believer that is mature will take the view that he just explained. So what am I saying? No, I'm sorry. If that is true, then the opposite is true. If we spend our life looking in the rearview mirror, we are not mature yet. We're not mature in Christ. Maybe God calls us to do something. And we look in the rearview mirror and go, oh, not going to do that. I did that once and that blew up in my face. Well, maybe the last time you did it, God didn't call you to do it at that time. Maybe the timing was wrong. Maybe you got out ahead of God. That'll make things blow up in your face. So, resilience is the biblical norm for true or for mature Christians. Second major point, the Bible contains many encouragements to press on. Contains many encouragements to press on. First of all, to overcome hardship and temptation. Talked about this a little bit last week. Romans 12, 21 is the verse that I want to look at for a moment. Romans 12 and verse 21. To overcome hardship and temptation. Here we go. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil through good. Have you ever had anybody get a good shot in on you on Facebook? No, I don't Facebook, but I am aware of what goes on there. I don't Facebook because I don't need drama in my life. I need Jesus. But I'm well aware of what goes on. And people will put things out there on Facebook to hurt people because they're not standing toe to toe, and they'll do things that they would never do to. Because they might end up with a broken nose or a black eye. So, there's that disconnect. And people feel free because they're not in the presence of the person to trash the person. Well, if you've been on the receiving end of that, have you been tempted to fire back? Or have you fired back? See, that's just one of millions of examples I can give you about not being overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. See, something that doesn't get fed eventually dies. And when you retaliate on something like that, you feed it. And then it starts going back and forth, and of course you have to drag other people in. And then all of a sudden you have dozens of people that are involved in this huge feud. Do you think that's God glorifying?
No.
Do you think that's God honoring?
No.
No, it's evil. Do not do it. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, just let it go. Just let it go. Don't post anything. Just let it go. Because if you don't feed it, it'll die. Is somebody picking up what I'm putting out? Encouragements to press on. Secondly, to persevere in the face of trials. James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. perseverance. Perseverance is a big part of resilience, right? Big part of it. So we need to learn how to persevere. And then we will be resilient. And we will overcome. I guarantee you, if you become a resilient person, a biblically resilient person, you will overcome. Guaranteed. Because God's in that business. And when you give it over to Him and let Him take it, the Bible also gives many examples of people who have suffered greatly but continue to follow God's plan for their lives. There are many. Proverbs 24, verse 16. This verse says in Proverbs, the book of wisdom, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity." Now, if you don't know what calamity exactly means, I looked it up. So I would know what exactly it means. And what I found is it means sudden damage and disaster. Sudden damage and disaster. The wicked are brought down by calamity. Suddenly. The wicked continue to do what they do in abusing God's people because they keep getting away with it and they think it's always going to be that way. But then, suddenly, there's a reckoning. Because God's people will always be vindicated by our loving God. They will always be vindicated. I don't know how many of you read the devotional today, but man, I read it, as I always do, and it made my hair stand on end because it's so related to this message. I got to read an excerpt out of our devotional, our daily breads that we give out every month. The one for today. When I wrote this message this week, I didn't know. I don't look ahead. I don't cheat ahead. I read today's today and tomorrow tomorrow. I don't read ahead. So I turned that thing open today, this morning, early, and I find this, labeled Good Trouble. Good Trouble. It says, when John Lewis, an American congressman and civil rights leader, died in 2020, people from many political persuasions mourned. In 1965, Lewis marched with Martin Luther King Jr. to secure voting rights for black citizens. During the march, Lewis suffered a cracked skull, causing scars he carried for the rest of his life. When you see something that is not right, not just, not fair, Lewis said, you have a moral obligation to say something, to do something. He also said, never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good, necessary trouble. Now, I wanted to bring this up because I got to bring a balance to this. I just talked about not returning evil for evil, right? But the flip side of that is, and the point that he was making in talking about good trouble is this. When the righteous of the earth do nothing, then evil advances. I'll say that again. When the righteous in the earth do nothing, evil advances. All right, so now, okay, that's a fact. That is a fact of what? Bona fide. All right, so why are we where we're at in the world today? Why are we where we're at in this nation today? Because the righteous stop speaking up and speaking out. See, there is a time to get in some good trouble. And my friends, it's time we speak up. It's time the body of Christ gets their voice. Our God-given freedoms are being taken away daily.
Right.
Listen to me now. I'm telling you the truth. They're being taken away daily. And if God's people do not rise up and find their voice and put a stop to this, we will lose all of our freedom, and we will be in an American form of Marxism.
Yes.
Because we're heading there fast. If you don't believe me, whatever. Then you haven't been paying attention. And I've told you this many times in the last few months. Don't look at the mainstream media, because all they are is propaganda machines.
That's right.
You have got to go to alternate places. The propaganda machine is filling people up. Our young people today are being filled with so many lies. Critical race theory is on the verge of being taught in our schools. You better stop them. You better stop them. Let me explain something. I am never going to apologize to anybody for being white. And I also will never and have never expected anybody to apologize for whatever color they are. God don't see color, and neither do I. I'm colorblind. I don't care what a person's color is. And critical race theory is feeding. You know, remember I told you, if you don't feed something, it dies? Well, they have been feeding this and have stirred up this whole racism thing and made something out of nothing. Propaganda lies. Do your homework. They want to defund police because all the police are racists and they kill black people for no reason? Wrong. The police in this nation, year after year, have killed more white people than black people. And that's a fact. But they won't tell you that. Black lives matter? Right. All life matters. Black Lives Matter tells people that what they're about is to protect black lives. Well, that's not what they're about. They're a Marxist organization. Well, Pastor Wayne, you're talking out of your head. No! Go on their website and read it. I did. It's on their website. Their main mission is to break down the family unit and replace it with the alternative families that we see spoken of that violate the word of the living God. I'm getting fired up here now. So God's people have got to find their voice. God can and will straighten this out, but God's people have to rise up. We've got to take a stand. Many stands. I've told you many times the way things are going. They're going to start putting pastors in prison that are preaching the word in this country if people don't rise up.
Yeah.
And I stood in this pulpit and told you, I'm going to speak what God puts in my mouth, and if they throw me in jail, we're going to have a revival in the jailhouse. Yeah, kick me out. Bring it. Are you hearing it? We have got to get to where we are resilient people and really live what we profess. Because time is running out. Guys, the things that are happening right now are literally laying the groundwork for the Antichrist to come on the scene. I don't know if you realize it. But the reason that God, through His people, is going to stop it is because what they are forcing is too early. It's not time yet. Someday that's all going to happen. But it's too early now. It's not time yet. There's got to be an awakening that goes through the earth, and many people swept into the kingdom of God before that happens. Then Christ will return and take His bride out, and the Antichrist will be revealed, and then things can, I'll just be blunt, all hell will break loose at that point. I'm going to have to hurry up, man. I got like 8 minutes before 11 o'clock. I can't help it. The Holy Ghost got a hold of me, and I just got to let Him have His way. Amen? Amen? Can you believe that? Good trouble. Can you believe that was in our devotional today when I had just put this message together? I about fell out my chair in my office when I sat down and said, couldn't believe it. Well, I can't. But it's like, oh Lord, You're good. You know, that kind of thing. Lord, You're really good. Third, Paul showed great resilience throughout his life. Godly resilience enables us to be undeterred from our mission, regardless of the opposition. When we are resilient, we are undeterred. We are determined to finish the mission, the God-given mission that He has given us. I want to tell you something. I'm determined to finish my course. I'm just telling you straight right now. This pastor is not going to shrink back.
Hallelujah.
Because I read somewhere in the Word of God, man, in Revelation chapter 12, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Yes. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28 says, I'm going to read quick. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind talking like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger, I have known thirst, and I have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Now that reveals a man's heart. That reveals the integrity of a man's heart. He went through all of those things in that list, and I trust probably more than that. I don't think that is an exhaustive list of everything he went through, but it's pretty thorough. And then he says, and on top of all of that, I'm overwhelmed with my care for the churches, God's people. God's people. See, American Christianity has come to the place where they want to hear about how good they are. And they want to hear about name it and claim it. And they want to hear the hyper faith message. They want to hear all the feel good stuff. And what we have is a nation full of Christian wimps that think if they go through anything, they're going to throw in the towel, and many of them do. But I look at the example that we have in the Word of God, and what I see is somebody that's truly resilient, that's not going to give up know-how, and never did. See, five times, if you were listening, five times, he had 39 lashes. The 40 lashes of the Jews minus one, 39 lashes. You need to understand, he endured five times 39 lashes. He was stoned and left, drug outside of the city and left for dead. And it says, when the brothers gathered around him, I don't know if they gathered around him to pray or what they did. It doesn't tell us that. I suspect if they gathered around him, they probably weren't just standing there gawking at him. I'm guessing they were probably praying for him. Bottom line is, he got up, shook the dust off, and walked back into the city where they just stoned him, supposedly to death, and said, "Is that all you got?" Because he was resilient and focused on finishing the call on his life. It's time Christians in this country get skinned like an alligator and get determination back. Amen? It's time we do, guys. We're losing our nation. It's being taken away. Our borders are wide open. And already this year, they know that there is already a million illegals, actually more than a million, that have come through our borders. Last month, 188,000 that they know of were bussed all over in our country and dumped off in cities. 188,000. And this is being done by the regime that's in power. And these are not just people from Mexico. They're from all over the world. We have no idea what's in our borders now. Am I scaring you? I hope so. Because I'm serious. I'm trying to jolt some people awake. It's time we get a hold of God and get on with what He's called us to do. It's no accident that I am alive right now. It is no accident that you are all alive right now. It's by God's design, and He's got a commissioning for every one of us. Amen. Acts 14, 19 and 20. I got a little ways to go. We're going to go over today. If you have to go, I understand. Maybe you got to go to work. I don't know. But otherwise, don't miss the rest of this. Let's hang in there. Nobody's going to fall asleep in the windowsill and fall out. You know why I'm saying that, right? I don't want to have to run down there and pray over you, bring you back to life and haul you up here to finish. So get out of the windowsill. Then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, see, I just preached it, he got up and went back into the city. Said, "That all you got?" Oh, that's not in there. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Fourth major point, Job showed great resilience and God honored him for it. We hit this last week a little bit, so I'm just very quickly going to cover this. Through it all, he did not charge God with wrongdoing. I'll tell you what, that shows integrity. He understood the heart of God, even though he was going through horrific things. Well, Job, man, he went through you and more than you and I ever would. Job 1, verse 22 says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. There it is out of the Word of God. Secondly, Job's wife wasn't much encouragement to him. She was kind of a witch. Really? Told him, you disgust me. Curse God and die. That's pretty radical. She wasn't a very good helpmate, guys. Job 2:9, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Can you feel the love? Wow. I wouldn't want nothing to do with that. There's a reason in Proverbs, you know, God's Word's got it all, but boy, old Proverbs, that's really loaded up to that book of wisdom. It says, better a man live on a corner of the roof of his house than live with a contentious woman. Job might have belonged up there in the corner of his roof. In conclusion, the true believer in Jesus Christ is held up by God's power, and as a result, they are resilient. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. Says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. All over through the Word of God, we are exhorted to keep going forward no matter how hard it gets. Guys, I want to pastor a church that is loaded with people that are resilient and focused on the call on their lives. And together, we lock arms and go into the battle and come out the other side victorious. That's the kind of body of believers I want to shepherd. I've always been a scrapper. You know, when I was young, I was skinny. And a lot of people used to underestimate me. You know, it's a dumb thing to underestimate a person. Because almost always I ended up standing over top of them. So, God made me that way. So, what I'm saying to you is, I'm not the only one. God has made people scrappers, and what I'm talking about when I say scrapping in the biblical sense is to stand up for God and get a voice. Amen. And speak the truth. That's what I'm talking about. Please don't go out there and grab some liberal and knock her head off. That is not what this pastor is preaching. I just need to make that clear. We got some big boys in this church, you know. We can do some damage. True believers keep bouncing back, as we mentioned in the beginning of this message. The key to resilience is faith and trust in the Lord. Faith and trust, that's the key. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. I just got to finish. I can't just quit. Lord, don't let me. We need to get all of this. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hallelujah. When the Lord delights in a man's way. You know when the Lord delights in a man's way? When you're walking with Him. That's it. When we start walking our own way down a path that we've marked out, that is not pleasing to God. He wants us to walk with Him in the path that He has laid out for us. Choosing to trust in the Lord rather than rely on what we understand is the best way to be resilient. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 8. And this is actually the end. When I read this scripture, it's, we're 7 minutes past. We're okay, right? Your stomach growling yet? Getting hungry? Trying to feed you up with the word here. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. There's way, way too many people afraid to death of COVID. Is Jesus Jesus or what? Is He or is He not our great physician? I have absolutely no fear of COVID. My days are ordered by the Lord. And I'm not leaving this earth until it's by God's design. I'm not going to do anything to try to test them. Okay? But I have no fear of COVID. None! Never did! And I had it! I'm still here, just like 99.8% of the people are. Sometimes I just got to tell the truth. Resilience, guys. Biblical resilience. That's the word that God gave me for today. Did you all get something out of it? Are you encouraged? Are you also challenged? Let's stand together. Father, I thank You that You are our all in all. I thank You, Lord, again, for waking me up and just putting that one word in me, resilience. And I thank You what You birthed from that. I give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, because all I did was come up here and preach Your word. It's Your word, Lord. Thank You that You are our great physician. Thank You that You have called us not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And You empower us to do exactly what You call us to do. So, Lord, as we leave this place, I pray that we would spread encouragement and not fear of COVID. I pray, Lord God, that we would spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because You are our only hope, Lord. And I pray that You would provide opportunities for us and that You will bring us back safely next weekend. And we give You all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.